This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is episode 6. Now, on this episode of For Life and Godliness, we're going to be in a text of Scripture, but we're going to be looking at a pretty well-known parable, one that we all have grown up hearing. This is one that even non-believers would be familiar with, and that is the parable of the prodigal son. So there you have it, a well-known parable. We've all heard it. We've grown up listening to it. As we're sitting right now and we hear the prodigal son, we immediately know the story. But what happens in this parable is that the point is often missed. Let me say that again. Let me rephrase that. There are multiple points to be made, but only one is actually focused on, while the greater point in the context of the chapter is missed. So we're going to actually look at the whole chapter, because this parable comes in a series of three parables. You have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the prodigal son. But the prodigal son shouldn't be the name of the parable. And I am in agreement with Dr. Vody Baucham, who says that this parable should properly be named the parable of the elder brother. Now, with this episode, I actually have no notes, so we're just freestyling it, going in, looking at the text of Scripture, and just drawing out what the text says. So let's begin. If you have your Bibles, I will invite you to turn to Luke 15. That is where we find our parables. So Luke 15, beginning in verse 1, this is the parable of the lost sheep. Luke records, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now that's key. In this first parable of the lost sheep, verse 7 right there is actually key to interpreting the rest of the parables in this chapter. This is talking about one sinner coming to repentance, and that everyone in heaven will rejoice. Now, he mentions more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, the reason being is because those 99, they are already repentant. That's what's being relayed here. Those 99 are already gathered together. They're already repentant. They're already covered in righteousness. But we need the one sheep that was lost, that the shepherd went to go get, and then he laid it on his shoulders and brought it back to the fold. What a beautiful scene. But right in the first parable, we see kind of the whole point: one sinner who repents. Now let's move on to the next parable, the lost coin, verse 8. "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me. I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels in the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There we see the whole point right there. The one sinner who repents. Now, we move into the story of the prodigal son, or the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, "And a man had two sons." Now, just if you're tracking with the numbers here, 99 sheep, okay, lost one, okay, 100, a total, you have 100 sheep, all right, you lose 1% of your sheep, okay? The coin, you have 10 coins, you lose one coin, okay, you lost 10% of your coins. Now into the prodigal son, two sons. A man has two sons, he lost 50% of his sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, or feed the pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. So he's hungry, and he's looking at the slop that the pigs are eating, and he's going, "I would much rather have that because I have nothing right now." Verse 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." Verse 25. Now, this is where the story takes a turn, and where this story is not like the other two. Verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. Now that last part, beginning in verse 25, is what separates this parable from the other two. In the first parable, we see the man, the shepherd, he loses a sheep. He goes and finds it. He brings it back. He calls his friends. They all come and they rejoice over the lost sheep. They celebrate a sheep that had been found. The woman has 10 coins. She loses one. She finds it. She calls together her friends and her neighbors and says, "Come and celebrate with me. I have found my coin." But here we get to the prodigal son, and we see the son has taken all his inheritance and he has squandered it. He has nothing. But then when he came to his senses, as the scripture says, he came back home. This is a sign of repentance, is what this is. Repentance of sin. He comes back home, and the father celebrates, calls everyone together and celebrates. And yet, the older brother cannot celebrate. He is angry. And he tells his father, he said, basically, he becomes self-righteous. He says, "Look at all the works that I have done for you, and you have never once acknowledged me. You have never once given me anything so that I could celebrate with my friends. But yet this son of yours," and then he directs the finger to the brother who squandered everything. He's pointing at him and says, "But him, he squandered everything. He lost everything, and yet you celebrate him." But what the older brother doesn't understand is repentance. He doesn't understand repentance. He doesn't understand grace. This younger son who squandered everything that he had, he now has nothing. All he has is what his father will give him. A fattened calf, some clothes. But not only clothes, look at it, says the best robe. Even though he squandered everything, he still got the best robe. And the older brother is angry. Self-righteousness flares up. And he just can't bring himself to rejoice. And like the other two parables, what do they say? They talk about repentance. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's verse 7. In the same way, verse 10, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But yet this older brother could not rejoice in the repentance of his younger brother. Now, what this has to do with is the Pharisees. At the beginning of the chapter, we saw now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near him, that's Jesus, to listen to him. So you got all the tax collectors and the sinners. Now, the tax collectors, they were Jews working for Rome, so they were actually viewed as traitors to Rome. They were probably the lowest of the low that you could be, because you had to tax your own people at an outrageous amount, and then you got to keep whatever was extra. So tax collectors were actually very wealthy people. But all the tax collectors, and in fact, an old pastor of mine, he used to joke and say, "I may be a sinner, but at least I'm not a tax collector." I always thought that was pretty funny. But all these tax collectors, these cheats, right? They're cheating their own people, these traitors, and sinners and other types of sinners are coming to Jesus to listen to Jesus talk. They're listening to him talk about the kingdom, the way of salvation. They're listening to all these things, and yet the Pharisees are grumbling. In the Greek, the term gungus moo, they are gungus mooing. They're grumbling. Why? Because the Pharisees and the scribes view themselves as righteous by keeping the law. They're looking at their own works, and they're saying, look at us. We're the clean people. We're the religious elites. And yet this man, the one who claims to be the Son of God, he eats and dines with tax collectors and sinners. But what do the Pharisees not understand? Like the older brother, they don't understand repentance. They don't understand grace. And so the whole point of these parables, and the first two, is to show, look, everyone can come together and celebrate a lost sheep that has been found. Everyone can come together and should come together to celebrate the lost coin that was found. And everyone should come together and celebrate the lost soul that has been found, that was dead and now been made alive in Christ. The older brother is the representation of the Pharisees who could not rejoice when a sinner came to salvation. That is the main point of these of this chapter, of the parable of the prodigal son. But now, I also don't want to diminish the actual prodigal son, the son who came back. Why? Because at one time, when we were dead in our sin and separated from Christ, we were the prodigal son. We were lost. We were dead. We needed to be made alive. And we needed to have repentance. And then we needed to have grace bestowed upon us, mercy shown to us. And then once that happens, we are welcomed into the Father's house, and we are given the best robe. And I have spoken of that several times already on this podcast. We are clothed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness. What better robe could you have? We who were dead in trespasses and sin have come to repentance and faith in Christ, and we are clothed in the best robe. But yet, even today, there are people who are those elder brothers who can't rejoice when a sinner comes to salvation. There are those who wander off, who understand the ways of salvation, and yet wander off and have to be brought back. Just as the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But yet God draws us back by his loving mercy, and his Holy Spirit working within us brings us to repentance. And then the Father welcomes us back in as his son. What we need to do is we need to make sure we are not being the elder brother or the Pharisees. Let us rejoice with those who come to repentance and faith. That is the point of the parable. When a traitor of God, when a sinner comes to repentance, celebrate. Celebrate. Because they were dead, and now they're alive. They were lost, and now they are found. And not only should you celebrate just because they have now come to salvation, but celebrate because the angels in heaven who surround the throne of God celebrate when one sinner comes to repentance and faith. How glorious is that? For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. would love to hear from you.